Said, "Well, you on steroids or something?" "No, I ain't." Hallelujah. I'm high on Jesus. Amen. High on him. Some of y'all good run the aisle once in a while. If you not as long as you don't have a heart attack. Take your Bible, look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. We could go home right now and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. You say, what do you do on Sunday morning? We try to get you stirred up. Yes. Try to get you high up there, high. Sunday evening is a little different. Because usually people come back on Sunday night, usually ones that's staying with it. But we're trying to get you stirred up where you'll think about the Lord more. Get rid of your problems and forget worrying about them. Try to get you, man, where you'll just fall in love with the Lord, sing praises to him. And that's a blessing. It's good to see tears when people's worshiping God. Amen. It's a blessing. It's real good. 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18, one of the great prophets of the Bible, Elijah. Elijah. I love Elijah. Elijah was an unusual character. And you know, most men in the Bible that God used were unusual men. And when God used women in the Bible, they were unusual women. God's looking for some unusual people. He's looking for some unusual people he can use that could care less what anybody thinks. Care less what anybody thinks about you, the way they look at you. You just got to divorce yourself from the way people think. And what happens, a lot of people, you know, people get funny when they get around money. When you get around money, people and all that, you try to be proper and all that stuff. I know being around Dr. Robin, he was around millionaires. I watched him. And I watched him. He care less. He care less, man. I've seen him eat the bone of a chicken in front of people. He just gnaw on it. He's sitting at a table. Here he is, a doctor. Read 700 some words a minute, speak 5 different languages, and he sit there and take a bone of a chicken, sitting at a table with a bunch of millionaires, and just eating that chicken and eating bone, all that. He's just wild man. And in the Bible, you find some wild men. Elijah's one of them. Elijah's a wild man. And this guy, he is something else. And God's looking for people that will do what he's asked them to do. And a lot of times, God's not going to ask you something to do something that he's not going to empower you to do it. He'll empower you to be able to do it. I know when I first came to church here, and I thought, ain't no way I can pastor church. And what happens is when God called you to do something, he'll empower you. If God didn't call you, he ain't going to give you it. He ain't going to help you. And because he never called you. And you're running out there trying to do something he didn't want you to do just because you want to do it. And I've seen a lot of guys leave Bible school. When I was in Bible school, leave Bible school, say, oh, man, people are dying, going to hell. We got to get out there. And they're not even serving God now. Here it is, 30 years later, 30-some years later, they're not even serving God. And it says in chapter 18, 1 Kings, and it came to pass after many days. Remember something, storms and problems always come to pass. They never come to stay. If you're going through a problem right now, it's never going to stay. It's going to come to pass. Whatever you're going through is going to pass by, just like a storm, it passes by. And it says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And it says, Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Now, Ahab was a king of the northern tribes, 10 northern tribes. You had the two northern, southern tribes, which was Judah and Levi. And then you had Benjamin. Some of the Benjamin was there with him. But you had the 10 northern tribes, which Ahab, he was king over Samaria. And Samaria is in Syria, if you're wondering about that. And that was part of Israel. So Ahab, it says, after 3 years, God tells Elijah to go show himself to Ahab. And you say, what's the three-year significant thing? I mean, it's a type of tribulation. What's going to happen in tribulation? There's not going to be any rain. Look at chapter 17. In chapter 17, Elijah starts his ministry, and it says, he tells Ahab that it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. And because of the sin of Ahab. Look back at chapter 16, verse 33. And the Bible says, Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. So here's a guy, king of Israel, a Jew. He's supposed to be following the commandments of God. And the Bible says this guy provoked God to anger more than anybody else. And he said, before all the kings before him, he provoked God. Now, that's a dangerous thing when you provoke God. When you provoke God to anger, brother, look out. And the Bible says God's anger is the wicked every day. And when you provoke God to anger, look out, man. Trouble's coming down your way. And it ain't going to come to pass. It's going to come to stay. And in chapter 17, Elijah goes and tells Ahab it ain't going to rain, and it doesn't rain. So after 3.5 years, God takes care of Elijah, and he takes care of the people that loved him, and they went through the thing with him. Because there's going to be people in the tribulation period, that's the 7-year period is coming, they're going to go through this 7-year tribulation period, and God's going to take care of them. He's going to take care of the Jews. He's going to take care of some people that believe on the Messiah. But chapter 18 and verse 2, it says, Elijah went to show himself on Ahab, and there was a sore famine in the Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, and it says, which was the governor of this house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. So what do you mean Jezebel cut off the prophets? She killed every one of them. She killed them. So Jezebel, you know, I've said this before. I've never heard of a woman or a man naming their child Jezebel. Or I haven't heard of anybody calling their son Judas. Why? They're from the Bible. Even the news media, they said she was a Jezebel. And a Jezebel is a rebellious woman. She's a rebellious woman that hates God, hates serving God, and there's a lot of Jezebels out there. I'm going to tell you that right now. There's a lot of Jezebels. But she cut off the prophets of the Lord. And the Bible says, and Ahab said on Obadiah in the land, said, go into the land and onto all the fountains of water and onto all the brooks. Prevenger, we may find grass. Ahab said to Obadiah, and he says, go save the horses, mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. And Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And Obadiah was in the way, and behold, Elijah met him, and knew him. And here's a governor of the land, Ahab being the king. He sent him out, and he meets Elijah, the prophet, the man of God. And here, he hadn't seen him for 3.5 years. Why? He hid himself. God told him to. And God said, I'll take care of you. And he did. And he answered and said, I'll go tell, he says, and he answered him, or back up to verse 7, and Elijah met him, and he knew him, and he fell on his face and said, art thou that, my Lord Elijah? And he said, I am, go tell the Lord, thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. He said, you go tell, Obadiah, you go tell your master, the king, that I'm here. The prophet, the preacher, he shows up. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither the Lord, my Lord, hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation, and they found thee not. And now that thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Shall it come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not? And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he will slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. And what is it, was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the prophets or of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And he said, he's telling him what good things he's done. He said, look, man, I don't go along with Jezebel. I don't go along with her God. I don't do all that. But he said, I tried to save men's lives, and I hid them. And he said, wasn't anybody tell you that? He said, now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, here it is. He says, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. I'm going to show myself to him today. So it says, it came to pass, verse 17, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? I mean, isn't that something? Here's the king it telling the preacher, prophet, that you're the problem. You know what? When people get mad and they leave a church and when they get upset, it's always the preacher. It's always his fault. And they always say, always blame the preacher. It's always, you know, he did this, he said that, and this and that, but all that kind of stuff. And sometimes they might be right. Sometimes they might be exactly right on the head, hitting the nail right on the head. It might be the preacher. But this case, it wasn't the preacher's fault. It was Ahab's fault. Why? Because we just read in chapter 16, he said, he provoked God to anger more than any other king. This guy was provoking God daily, on a daily basis, with his wife, Jezebel. And man, he provoked God. And look what the Bible says. And at verse 17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubled Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house. Notice, he refers back to his heritage. He refers back to his heritage. You know what Ahab did? He's following his heritage. I'm going to tell you something, parent. Your children are going to follow the heritage that you've laid out for them. And you say, well, you know, a lot of times we assume. It hit me the other day. We're riding down the road, the grandkids. It hit me the other day that I'm assuming that they know what I know. And what happens is, even with your children, you assume that they know what I know, but they don't usually know unless you tell them. Unless you show them. They don't know. You think, well, they were raised in church, but they probably got about 10% of what they heard. They get more at school. You say, why is that? Because the devil sees to it that he puts junk in their head. He'll put junk in their head in school and mess their minds up. And you assume that your kids know what you know, and you don't give it to them and teach them the Word of God. And that's why it's important to be in Sunday school. Take a little place here. You ought to be in Sunday school. You ought to have your children around in Sunday school. Anytime the Bible is being taught, you ought to be there. Amen. Amen. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. Yeah, go ahead, preach it, brother. That's good. Hallelujah. Amen. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubled Israel? And he answered and said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather me all Israel on the Mount Carmel. We were up on Mount Carmel. We seen it. You know what's funny? Up on Mount Carmel, we pull up there, and I said, where are we at? He said, we're on Mount Carmel. And you go up there, it's a Catholic church right on top of Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal. If you don't know nothing about your Bible or history, the Catholic Church got their doctrine, their system from Baal worship. Right. And right on top of that mountain, we got pictures, if you want to see it. We got pictures right in front of Elijah. Elijah's in the statue, and he's got his foot on the neck of the prophets of Baal with a sword in his hand. Man. And a Catholic church right there. I thought, that's funny. That is funny. Right behind Mount Carmel, you walk out through the Catholic Church, and they got a place where you can sightsee. That's where the Valley of Megiddo is, right there, the Valley of Megiddo. We stood there crying, looking at the Valley of Megiddo. Look at this. He says, you're the trouble, man. You're the troublemaker. And he says, you gather everybody together on the Mount Carmel, and we'll have a showdown. You know what people are afraid of? They're afraid of putting God on the spot. And you're afraid of putting God on the spot on your job. You're afraid of putting God on the spot in your life, your family. You're afraid of putting God on the spot. Why? You think God might fail. And I'm going to tell you what Elijah did. He knew God well enough that God was not going to fail. He knew that God would show up. I'm going to double dog dare you all to put God on the spot in your life. Amen. Put him on the spot and say, Lord, if you're who you say you are, then I ask you, God, help me stand. He's not going to help you stand against something wrong. He'll help you stand for what's right. If you ask God to give you wisdom and ask God to give you power in your life, he'll give it to you. Elijah had enough confidence in God that he said to Ahab, the king, he said, look, I tell you what, get everybody together. We want everybody to be here. We want everybody to see what's going to happen. And Ahab said, all right, let's do it. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. I like that, man, like cage fighting. Let's get it on. And look what the Bible says. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel on the Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400. Elijah was outnumbered 1 to 850. 1 to 850. One man against 850 false prophets. And that's the way, you know what? I thought about that. That if you look at in this day and time, how many preachers believe that Bible, how many preachers stand for the Word of God, it's probably about the same percentage. 1 in 850. Might be 8,000 now. Might be more. Preachers don't believe the Bible. They won't stand for God. They don't even know if they're saved or not, most of them. Look what the Bible says. And it says, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel on Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal 450, the prophets of the grove 400, and that eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent and all the children of Israel gathered the prophets together on the Mount Carmel. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long? How long halt ye between two opinions? I mean, man, I'm sure he wasn't saying, how long y'all gonna stand there and not make up your mind? How long y'all going to do this? How long you going to be where, you know, if God be God, then serve him. And if Baal be God, then serve him. I think Elijah had a little bit more to say than that. I think he had a little more vocalness in his voice. Especially if you had all Israel together and you got probably a million or so people out there. And if you look at, you know, maybe it was in the valley. Maybe they gathered together in the valley. Well, I don't know where it was at they gathered. But I'll tell you what, when he got out there, he said, how long? Hold ye between two opinions. How long? Why don't you make up your mind? If God is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. We'll find out who it is that God is, the true God. Elijah didn't. He got tired of fooling around. He got tired of it. He got mad at the people of God. Here's the people of God supposed to know better, supposed to know who God is. I mean, they're supposed to be the ones that had the oracles of God. They're the ones that God chose, what we're talking about in Sunday school. I mean, the elect of God. He said, how long y'all going to be halt between two opinions? I mean, you know, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Right, amen. If you're double-minded, you think, I'm going to serve God today and I ain't going to serve God tomorrow. God, have mercy, man. What's the matter with you? If God is God, then serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. I mean, man, you got to make up your mind. I made up my mind a long time ago. God is who he says he is. Amen. God is God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And I'm telling you what he means, what he says. Yeah. How long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to stand there and wonder if God is real? I mean, if you don't know if God's real and you don't feel his presence in your life, whose fault is that? Yeah. Whose fault is that? It's yours. Yeah. Why? The Lord says, you draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to thee. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Yeah. I mean, the Bible tells you if you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Yeah. All you got to do is say, Lord, are you there? The night my brother was killed, I went outside. I said, you God, you blankety blank. I was cursing him. I said, God, are you blankety blank? If you're up there, I want to know. You hear me? And I meant it. Amen. How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, then serve him. If the Baal be God, serve him. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you? I mean, how long is it going to be? It's going to be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years before you make up your mind? I mean, man, I'm glad I made my mind up when I was 18 years old. My wife and I got married. We decided we're going to do the right thing. We want to do the right thing. We got married. We started doing what was right, raising our children right. We wanted to teach them right. We wanted to love God. And you said, did you have opposition? Always going to have opposition. Yeah. You're going to have opposition for doing right. You're going to have opposition for doing wrong. You're better off having opposition for living right than living wrong. So can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
Now, that's a witness against you.
Amen.
When you say amen, you're saying that's truth.
Yes, sir.
Amen. How long halt you between two opinions? The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I mean, we hope, people hope have a natural ability to go do wrong. It's in our nature. It's in our nature to not do right. And you've got to battle that thing. You know, when you got saved, you're sitting in this room, you got saved. How many of y'all saved in this room? Raise your hand. When you got saved, now you got two natures in you. You got the old nature and you got the new nature. And you got that fighting within you. And you got that thing battling every day. Am I going to do right or am I going to do wrong? Am I going to look at this or I'm not going to look at this? Am I going to say that or I'm not going to say that? You got this man, old nature, new nature, constantly battling. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So now, since you got saved, you got to get an answer to everything you've done since you've been saved.
Amen.
And the devil knows that. So he'll try to get you messed up. I always say the devil can't get your soul, but he can get your eyes, He can get your ears. He can get your hands. I mean, he can get your feet. He can get your whole body. And then before long, God will destroy that. How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. He's either right or he's wrong. God's always had two ways. Do you know what I mean? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's one way to get to heaven. The other way is rejected. You reject truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. How long halt ye between two opinions? You're going to do what's right or you're going to do what's wrong? You can't serve two masters. Take your Bible, look in Matthew chapter 6. Look at Matthew 6. Look what the Bible says. You can't serve two masters. So preacher, I tell you what, I know. That's why we harp every Sunday, every Wednesday. Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. I can still see Brother Gibson up here saying, read your Bible, read your Bible. I can still hear him saying it. Read your Bible. Why? Because the Word of God will help you to do what's right. It'll provoke you to do what's right. Elijah says, hey, get all the people together. Get everybody together. Ahab, you come up there. You whole group come on up there. Bring all the prophets of Baal, and we're going to have a showdown. We're going to have a showdown. It ain't going to be a hoedown. It's going to be a showdown. Yeah. And he said, maybe it was a hoedown. Maybe they hacked them, you know. But anyway, look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Look at Matthew 6, 24. Back up verse 19. We've got to read the whole thing. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, where thieves break through and to steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal, nor steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure is up there, your heart is wanting to be there. If your treasure is here, you don't want to leave and go up there. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Here's the verse. Look at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He's talking about money there. He's talking about riches. You can't serve God and mammon. Why? The old saying is, man gets money. Money gets money, then money gets man. Before long, if your eyes on money, that's all you want is money. Money, 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 money. That's all you want. It'll get you. It'll get you. Look. Back to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, look at this. 1 Kings, he says, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, then serve him. Now look on down, look at verse 21. And Elijah came and all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. They didn't say a thing. They knew he was hitting down the right alley. They always say when you throw a stone down the alley, the dog got hit is usually one of the howls. But none of these dogs howled. They kept their mouth shut. He was throwing rocks down the alley, brother, and they were hitting them upside their head. And they wanted to see a showdown. They wanted to see if God and make up their mind. They wanted to make up their mind after they seen God do something. I'm going to tell you something. You need to make up your mind. When God saved you, he did do something. Amen. He saved you. He cleansed you, washed you in his blood. He did something in your life. I know he's real. He's real and he's there. Dr. Solly, I was going to tell you earlier, Dr. Solly used to get stirred up and he'd say, spring up, oh well, spring up. And that's what you need, a well of living water inside you, springing up. If you're saved, you have that well. You just got to let it spring up every once in a while. And the Bible says in verse 23, let them therefore give us two bullocks. Here's the showdown. Let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces. And they were doing exactly like the law said. He says, and cut it in pieces, lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. He said, and I will dress the other bullock, and will lay it on wood, and put it no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, little g. The gods of this world are little g's, folks.
Yeah, amen.
If you're saved in this room, you know the God that's the big G.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. You know him. And he says, call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And then the Bible says, Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, dress it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock, which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. So from the morning time to 12 noon, from about 9 o'clock to 12 noon, they called on Baal. Send fire, Baal, send fire, send fire, send fire. And the Bible says, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Wait a minute. Did that say that Elijah mocked them? Did it say that? Did he say he mocked these prophets of Baal? That wear their skirts and wear long robes and all that stuff? Did he mock them? Elijah mocked them. He was outnumbered 850-1. Outnumbered. And then all Israel standing there watching. The showdown's coming. And I'm going to tell you something. When we say we need to get fired up, that's what we're talking about. Why? Because the Bible says you're a living sacrifice. And what God will do is set you on fire. He'll set you on fire. You say, well, he'll devalue it? No. He'll set you on fire to be used. Look at this. Look on down. It says, and they took the bullock, which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning until even until noon. I'll tell you, a good book to get is Chiniki put out about the Catholic Church. I think it was called 50 Years in the Church of Rome. And you start studying Baal worship. You start looking at that all the way from the book of Dan. I mean, from Genesis, Dan. And Dan is the one that goes into Baal worship. And then all Israel follows along with him. And Baal worship is now in the Catholic Church. That's where it comes from. They mix Jesus Christ in there a little bit. And they mix a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But it's Baal worship. Now, look on down. It says it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he's on a journey, or prevenger, he sleepeth and must be awakened. Nobody said, hey, Elijah, you shouldn't mock them. Elijah, come on, stop it. Stop it, Elijah.
Yeah.
Elijah, quit it. Quit mocking. Stop making fun of them. Stop making fun of them. 850 of them. They were jumping around, folks. You don't understand the severity of this thing. They were cutting themselves. They were cutting themselves. Blood running everywhere. I mean, they're screaming. They're running into each other like a mosh pit. They're slamming into each other, cutting each other, cutting themselves. And they're going, Gah! Satanic. And Elijah's sitting back, he's over on the side, watching him. Going, hey, maybe he's on a journey somewhere. Maybe he's too busy to hear maybe he's talking to somebody. He don't hear you. And I imagine they wanted to take them blades and cut Elijah up. But he was mocking them. And you know, you say, is it wrong to mock other people's religion? I don't think so. Especially when they mess with the Word of God. When they mess with the Word of God, mock them. Make fun of them. You know, I tell you what, you don't have to be, you go out just out of your way to do it, but they can be mocked. Look what the Bible says. Look what Elijah does. Look on down. It says, verse 24, call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock, and go on down. Look at verse 27, it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he's pursuing, or he is on a journey, a prevenger, he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lantlets and till the blood gushed out upon them. These guys were going crazy. You ever seen anybody get into a mosh pit? You ever seen anybody worship the devil? You ever seen it? Isn't it funny, Brother Mark comes up here, and Brother Mark talks about, I've been at camp, and these girls come up, and they got razor blades. They've been cutting themselves because nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. And they cut themselves. Where do you think they're getting that from? Amen. It's satanic. Amen. Anytime you mutilate yourself, it's satanic. Guys used to be try to prove how tough they were. They put down two arms. I've done it. The guy put a cigarette in between, see who moves arm first. That's satanic. Amen. All that stuff is satanic. And trying to prove that you're tough. And these guys were cutting themselves, screaming, yelling, jumping up and down, jumping on the altar and everything else. Elijah's mocking them, making fun of them. And look what the Bible says. Let me go back to it. I turn my page. And Elijah's just going on with them. Look at this. Look at verse 28. And they cried aloud, cut themselves after the manner, and then on down to 29. It came to pass that midday was passed. They prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. That was at 3 o'clock. These guys went on all these hours, man. Evening sacrifice. And the Bible says, and midday was passed, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regard. And Elijah said unto the people, all right, enough of this foolishness. Enough of this stuff. Come near. Come on up here. He says, come on up here. We want to see who God is. Amen. You know why we come to church on Sunday morning? To get a little closer to him. To worship him. It's not for, not really, it's for our benefit, but it's more to show him. We love him. And we want to show the community there is a God in heaven. There is a Jesus Christ that died for them. It's to show the community. And some people can take it or leave it on Sunday morning, Sunday night. They can take it or leave it. But I'm going to tell you something. When you do that, you're leaving your house. People know when I pull out my driveway every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, Wednesday night, in special services, they know he's going to church. Amen. They can steal everything I got. German Shepherd don't get them. But but look at this. And Elijah said unto the people, come near to me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was broken down. This is what I want you to see. There's got to be some repairing going on. You got to repair some things in your life. If you want God to show up in your life, you better start preparing some things that are broken. Elijah prepared the altar of the Lord, repaired it. Why? Because they tore it apart. You know the altar now in the New Testament for a child of God, you know what the altar is? It's your heart. Did you prepare your heart when you came in here this morning? It was broken down. Yeah, you ever heard people say, man, I'm going to die from a broken heart. Well, it's time to repair that thing. It's time for you to get that heart right. Yep. You know what happens when he repairs the altar and he does what God told him to do? The fire of God falls. Yep. Guess what happened? The whole nation turned back to God. Amen. You prepare some things in your life, you might see some of your family getting right. Amen. Yep. Might see some of your relatives getting right. You might see God bring revival in the family home. I've often wondered, man. I've often wondered about the Ryman family. Down in Shenandoah Valley, down there, if you go down there and stop in New Market and that area, you open the phone book, that's all Ryman's in there. Look, under Ryman, there's hundreds. I've been wanting to go back down there and try to, because there's a friend of mine that came out of the Connecticut church. He was a youth pastor. What was his name? Jesse, you know him. Sparks. He's pastoring the church right there where my dad grew up. The Ryman's. My dad, one time after I got saved, my father asked me to go with him down there to a family reunion. It was on a Sunday. I didn't want to miss church on Sunday. He said, well, if you're going to go, you got to go on Sunday morning. I didn't want to miss. I called my preacher up and I said, look, my dad wants me to go to this family reunion. And I said, but look, I'm going to miss church and I'm sorry. Brother Buddy was my pastor. And I said, buddy, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be there. He goes, oh, preacher, you go do what you got to do. Try to witness to him. I went down to the family reunion. They gave me an opportunity to get up in front of the family, Ryman family. Woo. And I preached to them. I don't know how many got saved then, but a bunch of them did. I want to see more of them saved. I'm going to tell you something. You prepare that heart, you prepare that altar, God will do something. But the thing's got to be prepared first. You got to be the one to do it. Elijah was the prophet. He was the preacher. And the Bible says he took the stones and laid them in order. Look what it says. Look what it says. It says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. He took those 12 tribes' names and probably wrote it on the stones. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as contained 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order. Everything was in order. When he started doing it, everything started going in order. Why? He knew how to do it. He says, and it says, he put the wood in order and cut the bullocks in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water. He wanted them to know this is not a magician's trick. This was no trick. I'm going to tell you something. Folks, for you to get to know God and for God to be real to you, there's no tricks behind it. Like I said, the Lord said, draw nigh to me. I'll draw nigh to you. You want peace in your life? You want some joy in your life? You want some comfort in your life? Repair the altar. It's been broke down too long. It needs to be repaired. And only God can really repair it. And the Bible says he laid the wood in order. You know, so what's the wood? On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross.
Amen.
Lay the wood in order. The old rugged cross. And look what the Bible says it came to pass. Verse 36. It's at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said 63 words. He said, what do you say? 63 words. He didn't make a long speech. He didn't go through a whole bunch of, you know, ceremonial thing other than preparing the altar. He said 63 words. Look what he says. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Wouldn't you know God wants you to do that? Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Verse 38, it wasn't no 2 hours later, 3 hours later. It says, and when all the people, it says, and the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood, even the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and said, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Let me tell you, if you repair that altar that's broken down, you'll see some action. You'll see some action in your family and your own life. If nobody else gets it, you'll get it. You'll get, man, the fire of God will come down inside you. And all you want to do is please him and love him and serve him. So what was this whole thing for? Is to bring Israel back. You know, we have revivals. We got this youth rally coming up. We have revivals. Why? To bring people back. Preaching on Sunday morning is to get you focused on things that in your life that are broken down, that needs to be repaired in your life. Where are you at this morning? Is your altar broken down? Things not right in your life? Things are broken in the family? I mean, what's going on? What's going on in your life? God can repair it. You got to give that to him. Let's bow our heads. Father, my Father, I love you.